Me in your Bibles in John chapter 8. We're reading verses 39 through 47 today as we continue our study through the book of John. John chapter 8, verses 39 through 47. This is the word of God. They answer him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who have told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We are not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convict me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." Heavenly Father, we thank you that we know that the only reason we hear your voice and your words and believe in them, it is because you have called us to yourself to be your children, to be your people. It is not our own doing, it is your doing in our lives, in our hearts, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that even when we open this word today, you who revealed yourself in these words, revealed yourself to us in our hearts through giving us faith to believe what is written in your word. We recognize that it is all your work, your grace, your compassion, your mercy, and we thank you for that. Now as we consider this part of your word, we pray that you may give us insight, that you may help us to grow in our faith, in our understanding of the gospel. We pray for those that still don't know you, we pray that they might hear your voice, that you might send to them the Holy Spirit, that they might come to faith and trust in you for salvation, and might become your children as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we are in week number 4 of our 5 weeks in which we are considering 5 important statements of our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 8. We are studying the book of John, but we are focusing in this chapter, in these 5 things that Jesus said that are important because they have eternal consequences for people, for anybody who hear them. We are not taking these verses out of the context and just focus on the verse, but what we are doing is by looking these verses or these statements, we are considering what Jesus is saying in that portion that we are reading, and we see that in this verse we have basically a summary of the main thing that Jesus is communicating in that section. So there are four things that I have told you for 4 weeks or 3 weeks before that these statements have in common. The first one, that Jesus is at the center. The second one, that there is a message for all of us. The third one, that there is a response expected from us. And the fourth thing is that there are consequences. And I will add to that eternal consequences to the way we respond to the message that we hear from Jesus. Let me look at briefly at the three previous statements, because beside these four things, there are other things that are important that they bring them together. That you will see that Jesus is saying in the first, the second, and the third statement, verses 12, 24, and 32, there is a common message in all of them. In verse 12, Jesus says that he is the light of the world, and whoever follows him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In verse 24, he says that unless you believe that he is he, or I am he says, you will die in your sins. The common thing between these two verses is that to follow Jesus is the same as to believe in Jesus. And basically, Jesus is saying that he is the one who bring light into the world. And if you follow him, you will not perish at the end of your life. Because if you follow him, you will not die in your sins. You will not die in your sins because if you follow him, if you believe in him, his righteousness, his perfection will be counted as your righteousness. Basically, you will be saved based on Jesus' works. Therefore, you are not walking in darkness, because most of the people that live in the world, they walk in darkness because they walk or they live in this world not knowing that there is a God, or not acknowledging that there is a God, not recognizing him as God, and not realizing that they are sinners and they are accountable to God, and therefore in darkness they die and pass to the afterlife in their sins. Therefore they die in their sins. Now the third statement was the one that we read in verse 32. The truth will set you free. And what is the truth? It's that thing that you have to follow and believe. It's the gospel. It's the good news that Jesus is communicating. So if you believe that truth, you know, you don't walk in darkness. If you believe that truth, you will not die in your sins, but you will be saved at the end of your life. Today's statement is found in verse 42 of the text that we just read, that says, if God were your father, you will love me. If God were your father, you will love me. This passage is focused on the religious leaders, or the Pharisees, or the Jews that were against Jesus. You will see that throughout the text, that is what John is telling us about. Through the words that the religious leaders are saying about themselves, and the things that Jesus is saying about them. So there are basically two things that you will see here in these verses. One is what the religious leaders thought about themselves. What did they think about themselves? And on the other hand, you have Jesus telling them what he knew about them, which is different to what they thought about themselves. Now, what is the connection between the religious leaders and us or anybody in the world today? We're not just studying something that is related to this group of people that were persecuting Jesus at Jesus' time. But what Jesus described about them is common on everybody in the world, and is common to you before you became a Christian. So basically what Jesus is saying about them is something that is a reality of any single person before coming to Christ. Therefore it is relevant. It's relevant for you that probably don't know Jesus yet and are hearing this message, because Jesus is describing your condition, and you might be in the situation of the religious leaders that you think something different about yourself than what Jesus knows about you. And it's relevant for you as a Christian, because now you can appreciate even more where did he bring you from. So let us first of all look at what then the religious leaders thought about themselves. So first of all, to put that or those verses in the context, Jesus was speaking to a group of people, and at the end of previous verses, John tell us that many believe in Jesus, that many believe in Jesus. And then as a result of that, we studied last week, verses 31 through 38, that Jesus addressed that crowd of people. In that crowd, you have Jesus' disciples, his close disciples. You have the many who believe in him. And you also have the religious leaders, the Jews who were persecuting Jesus, that were part of that crowd and were listening to Jesus' words. And there Jesus tells the crowd that the way you know if you are a real disciple of Jesus, remember, John tells us that many believe in him, and Jesus is telling the crowd, the way you know if you are a real disciple of Jesus, if that you abide in his word, that way you will know that you are a true disciple. To abide in his word, as we saw last week, is to stay in his word, to remain in his word, to trust in Jesus' message for the rest of your life, to trust in him for salvation for the rest of your life. Now, in that crowd, you have the religious leaders then responding to Jesus, and their response shows what they thought about themselves. The first thing that they thought about themselves is that they were, if you look back in previous verses, verse 33, they said, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been a slave to anyone." Why are they saying that to Jesus? Because Jesus told them, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And remember, he's saying this to the disciples, to those who believe in him, but as soon as the religious leaders hear the word freedom, or the truth will set you free, they say, "Wait a second, Jesus, we are free. We are free." In fact, they said, "We have never been a slave to anyone." And I think that there is something important there. First, they are saying that we are offspring of Abraham, and we have never been a slave to anyone. If you remember, the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt, right? And they were right now, in this moment, when these religious leaders are speaking to Jesus, under Roman oppression. So they could not be meaning that they were not a slave to people, but what they were saying is that they have a God who is the ruler of their lives. Even they could be, or they could have been under Pharaoh in Egypt, and now under the Roman oppression, they were free because they were the sons and daughters of Abraham, therefore the sons and daughters of God, who is the owner and ruler of the world. That's how they saw themselves. They saw themselves as the sons and daughters of Abraham, therefore free. If you remember from previous verses, the way Jesus responds to them, he's explained to them that what he means by being set free is that everybody is a slave of sin, that we are slaves of sin. And therefore, the way Jesus set us free is by dying on the cross, by taking our place there, and delivering us from the condemnation that comes from the law and our sinful nature, and also by giving us a new life in Christ and the power to resist temptation and sin. But that's not how they saw themselves again. They saw themselves as offspring of Abraham and people who were free. Now Jesus, in those verses, acknowledged to them that he knew that they were offspring of Abraham. Verse 37 says, I know that you are offspring of Abraham. I know that you are offspring of Abraham. But he's saying, but you are just referring to your blood connection with Abraham. And I'm here, he's saying, I'm here to tell you that you have a problem with God because you want to kill me. He said, I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. In today's passage, after Jesus not only tell them this, but if you read verse 38 at the end, Jesus says, I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your Father. It seems that they are still not getting what Jesus means by telling them, your Father, your Father. Because the way they respond to Jesus again in verse 39 is, they answer, Abraham is our father. If they would have at that moment realized what Jesus was talking about, they would have gone after Jesus even stronger. But they didn't get it at that moment, and they now are saying that Abraham is their father. Now they saw themselves as sons and daughters of God, because God chose Abraham. He called Abraham. And everybody that was born through the descendants of Abraham became Israel. And Israel is the son of God. Therefore, they saw themselves as sons of God. Now, Jesus continued to talk with them. And you see in verse 41, something else that they saw about themselves. Half of the verse, or 41b, as some commentaries would say, 41b would say, they said to him, we are not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God. You may wonder, why are they talking about this? Why are they saying this? Well, some will say that probably they were trying to mock Jesus and accuse Jesus because of his virgin birth. You remember in the past, previous verses, that they asked Jesus, who is your father? In other instances, they asked, and when they asked, who is your father, what they might mean is, where is your father? They said, where is your father? Is it Joseph? Also, they asked Jesus, who are you? And when they asked Jesus, who are you, the tone of that question was, who do you think you are? Right now they are saying to Jesus, we are not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God. It's possible that they were saying, well, I mean, where is your Father, Jesus? We know that we don't have that problem, but this is your problem. But also they might be referring to the fact that they saw themselves as godly people coming from a godly family. That their parents were descendants of God and Abraham, while the Gentiles were not considered themselves, or were not considered by the Jews as people who were born of godly families. At the end, This is what they thought about themselves. They saw as people who were free, people who were sons and daughters of Abraham, people who were in a right relationship with God, people who saw themselves not just as blood descendants of Abraham, but spiritually sons and daughters of God. But that's not how Jesus saw them. And it's not just how Jesus saw them, what Jesus knew about them. Because there is a big difference between what they thought about themselves and what Jesus knew about them. Is that they thought about themselves based on what they thought. It was their reality. But Jesus knew what was in their heart, what was their present, and what was their destiny. So Jesus, again, if you look at the conversation, continues speaking to them. He responds to their saying, Abraham is our father, telling them that Abraham didn't, that they were not doing the works of Abraham. Jesus said to them, if Abraham were your, if you were Abraham's children, you will be doing the works Abraham did. You jump ahead in the text and you will see at the end of verse 40, this is not what Abraham did. Now, what is the question here? The question, I think, is, what did Abraham do that they were not doing? Well, we find Genesis 15:6 that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. That's the most important thing that Abraham did, that he believed God. And because he had faith in God, he trusted God when God called him, it was counted to him as righteousness. But we also see in Genesis 26:5 that Abraham obeyed God's voice. So Abraham believed and followed God. And Jesus is saying to them, you are not doing what Abraham did. What did he mean? Well, he's referring to him being the voice of God speaking to them, because they are not believing in him. Now he's also telling them something that I think will have been a revelation for them, that they were doing the works of their father. Again, he's here repeating what he says in verse 38, you do what you have heard from your father. Verse 41 says, you are doing the works your father did. Probably, again, at this point, they might not be sure what Jesus means by that. Because, again, they responded to Jesus, we are not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. So Jesus made sure that they understand what he means by that in verse 44. You are of your father, the devil. You are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desire. Again, I think this is new revelation for them, because they thought that they were of their father, God, Yahweh, from the Old Testament. And they were doing their father's desire, even as they were persecuting Jesus. But Jesus is revealing to them that if they are of their father, the devil is your real father, and you are doing your father's desire, is that your will is aligned with the will of the devil. Because the sinful nature of every person is aligned with the desires of the devil. Jesus gives them two examples, very clear examples of what they were doing. He was a murderer from the beginning, likely speaking to what happened in the Garden of Eden. He brought death into the garden. Therefore, Adam and Eve died spiritually, and eventually they also died physically. But also we see the case of Cain and Abel, and from there to the rest of humanity. And how were they doing the desire of their father, the devil, is that they were seeking to kill Jesus. They were following the desires of their father, the devil. Also, they were believing or trusting lies rather than the truth. It says, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. I'm reading from verse 44. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He also lied from the beginning. He lied to Adam and Eve to convince them to take of the fruit of the garden. And they were aligned with that because they were not trusting in the truth. Remember, Jesus told them the truth will set you free. But rather they were trusting a lie that they have created themselves. That Jesus was not the Son of God. That Jesus was somebody who was leading people astray. We also learned from Jesus that they could not bear Jesus' words. Verse 43. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear my word. Jesus is speaking to them. Jesus is telling them the truth. You go back to verse 40. He says to them, but you now seek to kill me, a man who have told you the truth. I have heard from God. Jesus was speaking the truth to them, but they could not bear his word. Why? Why is it that they could not bear his word? Verse 45 tells us, but because I tell you the truth, you do not believe. Think about this. The reason why they don't believe is because he tells them the truth. In other words, if he tells them a lie, probably they will believe that. Because again, they were aligned with their father, the devil. But why? We keep asking, why is it that they could not believe? Before we get there, here is one important thing. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. They could not bear Jesus' words. They could not believe in him or trust in him, a man who have told them the truth about God. Therefore, they did not love Jesus. They hated Jesus. And remember, Jesus is God. They hated God, thinking that they were loving God and in their minds protecting God. But why is it that they could not bear Jesus' words? That they could not believe in Jesus? That they could not trust Jesus' words? It is because they were not of God. Look what he says, Jesus says. Verse 46. First of all, he says, which one of you convinced me of sin? Is what are the proofs that you have to prove me as a sinner so you could not trust my words? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? What are the charges that you have against me? What is the reason why they could not believe? The reason, Jesus says in verse 47, what you do not hear them, which is why you do not hear my voice, you do not bear my words, it is that you are not of God. That you are not of God. Why? Because verse 47 says, whoever is of God hears the words of God. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. Then the question is, who is of God if they were not of God? Well, Jesus met one time with Nicodemus, you remember. And Nicodemus came to him, very condescending and talking to him as a, recognizing him as a master that comes from God. And Jesus told him, unless you are born again, you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. And who is born again? Whoever is of God, whoever has been chosen by God to be his child is of God. Because whoever has been chosen by God, the Holy Spirit, as Jesus told Nicodemus, the Holy Spirit comes to him and give him new life and empower him to be able to bear Jesus' words, to believe Jesus' words, to trust Jesus' word, to trust in the truth that Jesus brings to him or to her, so that he could be saved. They did not hear God's words. They did not hear Jesus' words because they were not of God. These were very strong words for the religious leaders. Again, this is not what they thought about themselves. They thought about themselves as being of God, as sons of Abraham, as free, as those who were not sons of sexual immorality. Therefore, they were coming from a godly lineage. But Jesus is revealing to them that their condition is a broken condition. That's the condition of every single human being in this world. This is what some people like to call total depravity. Total depravity means that all the areas of the human life are affected by sin. Your intellect, your emotions. Therefore, you are not able to put your faith in Jesus unless there is a miracle that happens in your life. And that miracle happens in you if you are of God. You are not of God because you choose to be of God. You are of God because you are chosen by God to receive that great blessing, a miracle of being born again. And that's the condition of every single person in the world. Paul himself says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and we were all following the prince of the air. Therefore, people who are not yet believers are in this situation that the religious leaders were. We cannot look down on them and saying they were just bad people. The reality is that everybody in the world is in the same situation unless there is a miracle in your life of regeneration. Therefore, if you are a believer today, you have to remember, I think that Paul, when Paul writes Ephesians chapter 2, is remembering his past. He's thanking God for his presence, but he's remembering his past. I was dead in my sins, in my trespasses, and I had a different father. But today he could call God his father only because he was of God, because God chose him to receive salvation. That's, I think, a joy that any believer should have, and a gratitude that we should have in our hearts that we can trust Jesus just because what God has done in our lives. But on the other hand, if you think about any person that you know that don't know Jesus, our call is to pray that God sends to them the same Spirit that changed your heart. Because that's the only way a person can see the truth of the gospel, can hear Jesus' words and believe, can trust in the truth and be set free. Praise the Lord that you have received that grace. Pray for those who don't know Jesus yet. And if you don't know Jesus, I encourage you to trust in Jesus. I pray that you trust in Jesus. I pray that the Holy Spirit give you eyes to see the truth, because the truth will set you free. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, that it is by grace that we are saved. This is not our own doing. This is your love, compassion, and mercy for people like us who do not deserve to be called your children, It is your love that sent our Lord Jesus Christ into the world. And today, if we trust in you, it is your doing in our hearts. We thank you for the gift of faith that as we hear Jesus' words, we can bear them, we can trust in them, we can believe in them. And we pray, Lord, for anyone in this room or anywhere who do not trust in Jesus, that you may open the eyes of their hearts so they could see the truth of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.